A two-drug combination just cut cancer recurrence by 28%. And that's only the beginning of today's good news. Good morning. Welcome to Brightside Daily. I'm Rory, alongside Elizabeth.
And today, we've got four stories that prove the world is quietly solving some of its biggest problems.
We're starting with a cancer breakthrough that could save thousands of patients from the fear of their disease coming back.
Plus, the world just smashed its own record for renewable energy, 814 gigawatts in a single year.
Let's get into it. Imagine going through cancer surgery. The tumor's out, the scans look clear, but there's a question that never quite goes away. What if it comes back? For kidney cancer patients, that fear has been painfully real. Until now. A phase 3 clinical trial has just shown that combining two drugs, Keytruda and Wheelor-Egg, reduces the risk of cancer returning by 28%. That's compared to Keytruda alone.
And this is the first time Wheelor-Egg has shown positive results in earlier stage disease. That's a big deal because it means doctors can intervene sooner, not just wait and hope.
Exactly right. This is what's called adjuvant therapy. You give the drugs after surgery, during that critical window when cancer is most likely to try and re-establish itself. Think of it as closing the door behind you. Kidney cancer affects around 430,000 people globally every year. Many of them go through successful surgery, only to face months or years of uncertainty. This combination gives them significantly better odds of staying cancer-free.
And the mechanism is clever. Keytruda helps your immune system spot and attack cancer cells, while Wheelor-Egg goes after the metabolic pathways the cancer needs to survive. Together, they're hitting it from two directions.
Now, this still needs regulatory approval. And like any treatment, it won't work for everyone. But for a disease where patients have had so few options after surgery, a 28% reduction in recurrence is genuinely meaningful.
430,000 new cases a year, even a fraction of those patients getting better odds, that's thousands of families breathing easier tonight. 814 gigawatts. Let that number land for a moment. That's how much wind and solar capacity the world added in 2025, a 17% jump from the year before. And it's the fastest deployment of renewable energy in human history. To put that in perspective, that's more new power generation capacity than most entire countries possess in 1 year.
And the economics are staggering. That new capacity displaces $138 billion worth of gas imports annually. Countries aren't just going green for the climate. They're doing it because it makes financial sense.
That's what I find most compelling about this story. It's not aspirational anymore. It's not a target on a government whiteboard. It's happening at industrial scale, right now. Solar costs have dropped over 80% in the past decade. Wind technology keeps getting more efficient. And every gigawatt installed is a gigawatt that doesn't depend on fuel shipped from a conflict zone.
What about the grid challenges, though? 800 gigawatts is enormous, but the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow.
Fair point. Storage and grid integration are real challenges. And the supply chains for panels and turbines are still concentrated in certain regions, which creates its own risks. But the trajectory is undeniable. The world added more clean energy last year than anyone predicted 5 years ago. As one energy analyst put it, we're no longer debating whether renewables can replace fossil fuels. We're watching it happen.
And speaking of energy breakthroughs, our next story might just solve the biggest remaining puzzle. What if your electric car charged in seconds instead of hours? Scientists in Australia have built a prototype quantum battery that uses quantum mechanical effects to store energy in ways conventional batteries simply can't. The key phenomenon is called superabsorption. And here's the remarkable part. The bigger the battery gets, the more efficient it becomes.
Wait, that's the opposite of how normal batteries work. Usually scaling up means more heat, more loss, more problems.
Exactly. That's what makes this so exciting. traditional lithium-ion batteries hit fundamental speed limits because they rely on chemical reactions. Quantum batteries bypass that entirely. They operate at the level of physics itself. The applications could be transformative. Electric vehicles that refuel as fast as petrol cars. Grid storage that responds instantly to supply and demand. Even portable electronics that charge before you've finished making your coffee.
I love the ambition, but where are we on the timeline?
Early days, honestly. This is a working prototype, not a product on shelves. The quantum control systems are complex and expensive. Commercial applications could be years or even decades away. But the proof of concept is there. And in science, that's the hardest part. Sometimes the biggest breakthroughs start in the smallest laboratories.
Our last story starts with one man and a retirement plan that didn't involve a golf course. Wilmar Eliezer Simanjorang is a retired civil servant in Sumatra. When he finished his career, he looked at Lake Toba, the world's largest volcanic lake, and saw a crisis. A quarter of the surrounding old-growth forest had been cleared for development. So he did something about it. Working with his own resources and deep local knowledge, he started building a grassroots reforestation network across the region, village by village, school by school, organization by organization.
And what I find remarkable is his approach. He didn't impose some external plan. He worked within existing community structures. The people doing the planting are the people who live there.
That's what makes it sustainable. Top-down conservation projects often fade when the funding dries up or the foreign experts leave. Simanjorang's model is designed to outlast him because the communities own it. Of course, the pressures haven't disappeared. Palm oil, tourism, agriculture, they're all still competing for that land. But a network of villages now sees the forest as something worth protecting.
One retired civil servant, one volcanic lake, and a reminder that sometimes the most powerful force in conservation is a person who simply refuses to sit still. Time for our rapid fire round. Here are the numbers that caught our eye this week.
75%. That's how much Spain has reduced fossil fuel influence on its electricity prices since 2019. Their renewable energy boom is literally shielding households from gas price shocks.
Smaller than a grain of salt, scientists have built a brain implant that tiny, yet it tracks brain activity wirelessly for over a year. Powered by laser light, could transform treatment for epilepsy, paralysis, and depression.
Four species of vultures successfully reintroduced to the French Alps in France's largest rewilding project. Lynx are next on the list.
Across Europe, wolves, bison, and lynx are returning to landscapes they haven't roamed in generations. Studies show secondary forests can recover much of their biodiversity within just decades.
And in Rio de Janeiro, brown howler monkeys vaccinated against yellow fever have been released into Tijuca National Park. They're now dispersing seeds and helping restore the city's largest urban forest. Conservation medicine at its finest.
Vitamin B3. Researchers have discovered that this common vitamin can shut down a key genetic driver of fatty liver disease. A safe, affordable treatment for one of the world's most widespread health conditions. That's your Brightside Daily for Wednesday.
If any of these stories gave you a reason to feel a bit more hopeful about the world, share this episode with someone who could use some good news today.
And if you want the full stories with all the links and sources, head to thebrightside.news. Everything we cover is there in detail.
Tomorrow, we've got a story about AI giving sight to people with visual impairments. Genuinely inspiring stuff.
Until then, keep looking for the bright side.
It's out there, and it's growing.